He was enjoying the last of the
clam chowder.
Call the House Health Care Committee to order for this May 29th. Make a few announcements first. We're gonna carry over a few bills to Monday. We're working on them, but they're not quite ready. We're gonna carry over 523, 684, 833. And when we finish the other work sessions, we're going to open a work session on 231 to invite some testimony about where we are with that bill and then carry it over till at least Monday. So if you want to talk about 231, the dash 8s, the dash 9s, anything else you want to talk about, let us know. And we'll get to that when we finish all the other work sessions. If Lori Freeman is listening, we'd probably like her along at that discussion, which should be as soon as we deal with all the other bills. So I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 283. Madam Administrator, what have we got?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 283 had a public hearing on May 18th. We also had a work session just on Wednesday. You'll recall this prohibits an individual from using the title Advanced Practice Registered Nurse or the abbreviation APRN unless the individual is a clinical nurse specialist, nurse practitioner, or certified registered nurse anesthetist. At that time, there was discussion on an amendment. Apparently, that discussion about amendment is off the table. This left the Senate floor with 29 ayes, 1 no, no revenue, no fiscal impact, Mr. Chair.
There was one group that had a problem with it. They've now gone neutral on the bill, so we now have. Near as I can make out, no opposition. Can I have a motion, please?
Mr. Chair, I would like to move Senate Bill 283 to the House floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Notes moves Senate Bill 283 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion on that motion?
No discussion.
Oh, wait, Representative Clem.
Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to put in the record what we discovered the other day, which is that this bill has nothing to do with scope of practice for APRNs, and that any changes in scope of practice for APRNs
or anybody else,
yep, should not apply to CRNAs, and in no way does a CRNA's ability to use this title give them a broader scope.
Exactly. And if there's any movement to change that scope, it'll be back with
some other bill, some other time.
Another bill, another time. Would you please call the roll?
Representative Buehler?
Yes.
Representative Clem?
Aye.
Representative Candler?
Aye.
Representative Kenny Geyer?
Aye.
Representative Lindley?
Aye.
Representative Weiner?
Aye.
Vice Chair Hayden?
Aye.
Vice Chair Noth?
Aye.
Chair Greenlight?
Aye. The motion carries. Representative Clem, you did that so well. Why don't you carry the bill on the floor?
Well, as long as I can carry the thrusting one, too.
You'll get that one, too.
You may.
It comes under the heading of no good deed goes unpunished.
Okay, no worries.
Close the work session on Senate Bill 283.
Here comes your chance, Brian.
And open a work session on Senate Bill 298. Hey, Madam Administrator.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 298A had a public hearing on the 13th of May. It's back before us today. This adds bodywork to the definition of massage. It modifies the definition of massage to clarify that massage does not mean the practicing of any form of high-velocity, short, amplitude, manipulative thrusting procedures provided to the articulations of the spine or extremities. It modifies the massage therapist certified hours from 500 to 625. There are no amendments. There's no fiscal or revenue impact on the bill, Mr. Chair.
Do I have a motion?
Sure. Mr. Chair, I'd like to move Senate Bill 298A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Noden moves Senate Bill 298A to the floor with a new pass recommendation.
And I'm going to object if he does.
Is there any discussion?
Just comment.
Thank you, Chair Greenlee, for holding us over last Wednesday. I think it was we had it. I had the opportunity to talk with the chiropractic board and the board of massage therapy, and get kind of a definition on what their ability to increase above the 500 hours of education to the point to the 650, I think it is, that they're looking for here. And came to the conclusion that both of these boards, and they did appear to admit that they could do this through their administrative rule, and have chose to go through the legislative route because they've had a compliance issue with some of their licensees, and they think it would be easier to get compliance. I felt like that maybe could have been handled after they had a problem, so I'm going to be a no vote on it.
Okay. That means you don't want to carry it.
It's true.
is there any other discussion?
Mr. Chair?
Yes, sir.
I have to vote no to make sure I don't carry this. Representative Klim's already volunteered for this bill, and I would not want to take it away from him.
Well, you can vote yes and still not carry it, though.
Not any dime material.
Any other discussion? Could you call the roll, please?
Representative Buehler?
No.
Representative Klim?
Aye.
Representative Schumer?
Aye.
Representative Kenny Geyer?
Aye.
Representative Lively?
Aye.
Representative Widener?
No, but I will reserve the vote, right to vote yes on the floor.
There you go.
Vice Chair Hayden?
It's a courtesy no.
No.
Vice Chair Nose?
Aye.
Chair Greenlee?
Aye. The motion carries. Do I, in fact, have a volunteer? You're quiet down there.
Yeah, I could volunteer if you want and not take the chance.
All right. You have it, Representative Kenemer. You can have it yourself.
No. Well, Clem looks unhappy. No, let's give it to
Clem. No,
let's
Representative Clem.
Brian, are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Representative Clem is going to carry it.
We don't want him to have a temper fit. Let's keep him happy.
Make sure this has nothing to do with upskirting.
No.
Close the work session on Senate Bill 298A. Open a work session on Senate Bill 430. I understand will you tell us what this is about? We have a minute.
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 430 had a public hearing on April 29th. We've had a couple of interruptions to get the amendment correct. You have a dash. This bill makes explicit that the state board's authority to deny licensure to the conviction of sex crime. It applies to three boards: the Board of Psychologist Examiners, Licensed Social Workers, and Licensed Professional Counselors. The Dash 2 amendment authorizes those three boards not only to apply the explicit authority to new licensees, but to current licensees. So that gives them the authority to deny or not renew licenses for individuals convicted of a sex crime in Oregon or any other state or jurisdiction.
And it gives them the authority. It doesn't require them. Is that the way?
That is correct.
Found out? Okay.
Correct. We have minimal expenditure on the Dash 2 and no revenue impact on the Dash 2.
Well, do I have a motion?
Mr. Chair, I would like to move that we amend Senate Bill 430 with the Dash 2 amendments dated May 27, 2015.
Representative Nose moves that we amend Senate Bill 430 with a Dash 2 amendment stated 5/27/15. Is there any discussion of the motion to amend? Is there any objection to the amendment? So moved. We have another motion?
Mr. Chair, I would like to move Senate Bill 430 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Nose moves Senate Bill 430 as amended with a Dash 2 amendments to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion on the motion? Will you please call the roll?
Representative Buehler?
Yes.
Representative
Klim?
Aye.
Representative Kenemer?
Aye.
Representative Kenny
Geyer?
Aye.
Representative Lively?
Aye.
Representative Widener?
Aye.
Vice Chair Hayden?
Aye.
Vice Chair Nose?
Aye.
Chair Greenlee?
Aye. The motion carries. Representative Kenemer will carry the bill on the floor. Close the work session on Senate Bill 430 and open a work session on Senate Bill 505. Administrator?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 505 had a public hearing on May the 6th. This requires that from October 1 through March 1, each hospital shall offer immunizations against influenza virus to patients 65 years and older. It specifies that the offers are based on the availability of the vaccine and the recommendation of the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices by the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. This directs the Oregon Health Authority to adopt the rules. There is no amendment, no fiscal, no revenue impact. This, again, left the Senate floor 27 ayes, 1 no.
Do I have a motion?
Do you want to make the motion?
I can.
Go ahead.
But I'm going to vote no.
That's fine.
Okay, Chair Greenlick, I vote, I move that Senate Bill 505 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Hayden moves Senate Bill 505 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion on the motion? Representative Hayden?
Thank you, Chair Greenlick. Again, this was one that we looked at fairly closely, talked to both sides of this, the hospitals and pharmacy that was promoting this bill, and looked at federal regulations. This is already required under federal regulations. The hospitals are already complying with that. It is true that not all hospitals hit the 100% of their matrix. They do have an incentive payment-wise in order to do that, so I felt it was duplicative, and I will be voting no on it.
Is there any further discussion on Senate Bill 505?
Mr. Chair, I will be giving it a courtesy yes out of committee. Not sure what I'll do on the floor.
Thank you. This really does raise the issue that was raised. I think it's an important issue, and we've discussed it in different times, and that's the extent to which other hospital employees should also be at least make sure they're offered a flu shot during the flu season, and perhaps more than that. That's been a very contentious issue, but, but I believe that at least offering it to patients, even if it isn't a matrix, we heard from the Hospital Association not all hospitals did this in a uniform way. Maybe this, I believe this will help move it in that direction. So I'll be a yes. Any other discussion? Would you please call the roll?
Representative Bueller?
No.
Representative Flynn?
Aye.
Representative Kennemer?
Aye.
Representative Kenny Geyer?
Aye.
Representative Lively?
No.
Representative Widener?
Aye.
Vice Chair Hayden?
No.
Vice Chair Nost?
Aye.
Chair Greenan?
Aye. Motion carries. I'll carry it. Close the work session on Senate Bill 505. And open a works. Let's see. We're going to carry over 523. We're going to carry over 684. Is that right? Let's open a work session on Senate Bill. Oh, there's one more. Yeah, I'll open a work session on Senate Bill 705. What do we have?
Mr. Chair, we had a public hearing on Senate Bill 705A on May the 20th. You'll recall this directs the Environmental Quality Commission to adopt rules requiring the contractor to perform an asbestos survey for purposes of determining whether a residence or residential building is insulated with asbestos prior to demolition of the residence or residential building. And Senator Denbrough here is to refresh us.
Talk about an amendment. I'm sorry, I didn't notice you.
No, it's fine. I was here in case I was needed, and I'm happy to speak.
There's an amendment that you've had
there is address. There is an amendment. You know, the issue arose when I presented the bill of, well, how about more recent houses? Do we have to do this survey for them? And so I worked with DEQ and the Home Builders Association to see, okay, let's see if we can put a date on this. And the date actually turned out to be more complicated than we had thought, because there was a date in which asbestos was banned, but then that ban was overturned, and restored for some products and not others. So it was, you know, really difficult to come up with a date. And so what the amendment does is it calls for DEQ, the EQC, the Environmental Quality Commission, to do rulemaking to come up with the date, and it'll probably have to be more subtle in terms of the products that might contain asbestos. So, you know, again, it's the home builders are fine with that. They thought this was very reasonable. So, you know, with that, I would urge you to support it.
Which amendment is it?
I think it's the 5s.
7s.
7s. Time flies. It's under 10.
I just want to remind the committee, you adopted the A5s last week on the 20th. And we have the paperwork. So the new amendments that the senator is speaking to are the A7s, and dated today.
And we have them today.
And we have them today.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
Happy to answer any questions. Or
any questions?
Yes, sir. Just real quick, and I appreciate you working on this, Senator Denbrough, for his Bedell representative. And the home builders, I talked with them, seems like they're good on everything. I just want to put on the record, and I don't know if it came up, there are some permissible amounts of asbestos and like felt paper, things like that, that is still used today. Are we going to address any of that when we're looking at this?
My understanding that rule? Is the rulemaking will address those products that have minimal amounts of asbestos that would be tolerable, so that they would not need to be, they would not need to be tested for.
Because that was the only other concern that I saw that came up, and I just want to make that clear on the record that just because the house has felt paper on for roofing, that it would not be considered asbestos. It wouldn't harm anybody.
Right. It's the hazard that's the issue. Yes.
Okay. Do I have a motion?
Mr. Chair, I would like to move that we adopt the dash A7 amendments to Senate Bill 705, dated May 29, 2017.
Probably 2015.
Did I put 7?
Oh, man, that's really bad. Yes. let's start over.
No, that's all.
You're sure?
We're fine.
All right.
This is the
Representative Noss.
This is what I'm told.
We adopt the A7 amendments. To Senate Bill 705A, dated 5/29/15. Is there any discussion on the amendment? Any objection? So moved. Do you have a motion?
Am I try again? Okay, Mr. Chair, I'd like to move Senate Bill 705 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Noss moves Senate Bill 705A as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion on that motion?
Mr. Chair?
Yes, sir.
I'll be supporting this. I was a little leery at first, but I've worked in the industrial environment and dealt with asbestos a lot, had to do abatement, and I know basically what asbestos can do to people, is having a father who worked in a brake factory and dealt with it and other things and how harmful it is. So I appreciate what Senator was doing here. I'm glad we were able to get it cleaned up, and we'll be voting yes for it out of committee today.
Great. You call the roll, please.
Representative Buehler?
Yes.
Representative Klein?
Aye.
Representative Kettemer?
Aye.
Representative Kenny
Geyer? Aye.
Representative
Lively?
Aye.
Representative
Weiner?
Aye.
Vice Chair Hayden?
Aye.
Vice Chair Hill?
Aye.
Chair Greenman?
Aye. The motion carries. Representative Kenny Geyer will carry 705A on the floor. I'm going to close the work session at 7:05 a.m. We are going to carry forward 8:33, but I think we're moving. We're moving, I think, in the right direction. We should have some amendments we're working on, and I'm hoping that the bill will be approved with some amendments we're getting. We will reconsider it on Monday. So carry over 8:33. Going to open a work session on Senate Bill 874A. What do we have, Madam Administrator?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, 874A requires the Oregon Health Authority to disseminate information to healthcare professionals and the public relating to adrenal insufficiency. We had a public hearing on this on May 20th. This has no revenue, a minimal fiscal impact, and this left the Senate floor with 27 ayes, 3 excused.
Can I have a motion on this, please?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move Senate Bill 874A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Nose moves Senate Bill 874A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. The advocates for this bill are not quite happy. They're very unhappy that we're not adopting the amendments. I think the general feeling is it's better to go forward this way, that at least starts the process, and maybe we'll hear about it again in the future. But I'm a yes on this, and I recommend we vote yes on the bill in this form. Is there any other discussion? Would you call the roll, please?
Representative Mueller?
Yes.
Representative Clem?
Aye.
Representative Kettimer?
Aye.
Representative Kenny Geyer?
Aye.
Representative Lively?
Aye.
Representative Widener?
Aye.
Vice Chair Hayden?
Aye.
Vice Chair Nose?
Aye.
Chair Greenlee?
Aye. The motion carries. Representative Bueller, were you here?
No. Representative Kenny Geyer wanted it.
Oh, okay. Representative Kenny Geyer.
No. I really would prefer not.
Okay. You got it?
Yeah.
Kenny Geyer. Very much. That's 874, right?
Correct. Yes.
Close the work session on Senate Bill 874. And open up a work session on Senate Bill 901A. Madam Administrator?
Mr. Chair, members of committee, Senate Bill 901A had a public hearing on May 6th. It's back before us again. This requires providers that bill insurers for covered hospital, nursing, medical, or surgical services to be reimbursed directly by the insurer. This applies to reimbursement on claims on or after January 1, 2017. You have two amendments before you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the A3, which adds an exemption for disability type of payer policies such as AFLAC and other ones that are identified in ORS 743-730. And the A6 amendments adds substance use disorder services and mental health services as covered services by the insurers to pay the providers directly. We have on both amendments, there is no fiscal and no revenue impact, Mr. Chair.
Do I have a motion?
Mr. Chair, I would like to move the dash A3 amendments to Senate Bill 901 dated May 6, 2015.
Representative Notes moves the dash A3 amendments to Senate Bill 901A, dated 5-6-15. Is there any discussion on the amendment, the motion? Any objection? So moved. Representative Notes?
Mr. Chair, I would like to move the dash A6 amendments to Senate Bill 901, dated May 11, 2015.
Representative Notes moves the dash A6 amendments dated May 11, 2015, the Senate Bill 901A. Is there any discussion of the motion? Any objection? So moved. Representative Nose?
Mr. Chair, I would like to move to the floor Senate Bill 901 as amended with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Nose moves Senate Bill 901A as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion of that motion? Just note some people are going to be sad about not being able to go to Las Vegas with a check, but probably works better for all concerned. Any further discussion? Would you please call the roll?
Yes.
Representative Clem?
Aye.
Representative Kettimer?
Aye.
Representative Kenny Geyer?
Aye.
Representative Lively?
Aye.
Representative Widener?
Aye.
Vice Chair Hayden?
Aye.
Vice Chair
Nose?
Aye.
Chair Green?
Aye. The motion carries. Representative Lively, would you take this one?
Certainly.
Representative Lively, carry 901A. Close the work session on Senate Bill 901A. That was fast. I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 231A for the purpose of taking some invited or otherwise testimony on this bill. I am fairly prepared to move the dash 8 and the dash 9. is the dash 9s will put a three-year sunset on the whole thing. The dash 8s attempt to narrow the antitrust exemption, because apparently there's some first concern about that. And I'd like to open the floor for anybody who'd like to join us to talk about it.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Barber. Do we have a counsel there too?
Not yet. I'll try calling her again.
Doug, go ahead.
Chair Greenlick, members of the committee, Doug Barber here today on behalf of the Oregon Academy of Family Physicians. As I testified in earlier hearing, we do have experience in these multi-payer collaboratives that do not have antitrust exemption, and find that the discussions there are not very fruitful. When the most recent case is the Comprehensive Primary Care Initiative, which is a federal initiative that 65 clinics, I think, in Oregon and 5 insurers are all part of. And in those which are moderated by CMS, whenever discussions or about payment methodologies, someone does alternative payment methodologies, and the question comes up about, well, how are they structured? The CMS intervenes and says you can't talk about that. And it, apparently CMS and FTC have different interpretations about the antitrust statutes. FTC says you can talk about those things, but out of an abundance of caution, which I think is pretty understandable for both insurers and providers, they don't want to to find out where that line is of who's going to be FTC's next antitrust test case. So they, they don't want to find that fine line, and so they don't tread there, and so that shuts down discussion, is the way it plays out. So our preference is still the language in the bill that came over from the Senate. Representative Greenlick and I had a conversation a little bit earlier today about the dash 8.
Let me just comment on that. The LC's interpretation of the original, of the bill that came over, it's not the original bill, was that grant of immunity gave very, very broad immunity to everybody involved. I mean, it simply said anybody who's involved in this has immunity, has antitrust immunity. So the feeling was it gave them antitrust immunity outside the context of this whole process. And what the dash 7s and then the dash 8s are attempting to do is to provide antitrust immunity for discussions in it, but to narrow it so that it only relates to things that go on in the discussions. But you had some concern about those three lines in dash 8, and it would be useful if you talk about those.
This is in the dash 8s, the last section, which is on lines 13 through 15, where it says to not permit insurers, purchasers, and providers of health care to manipulate the health care market by agreeing directly or indirectly to adopt uniform prices or reimbursement methodologies. But our whole point in having this collaborative is to try to work with insurers to reach some common agreement on payment methodologies. The problem that providers have right now is that everybody has their own payment methodology with a separate set of metrics, and so it adds to that overhead, it adds to the administrative burden. What I think the state has been trying to do through the CCOs is to try to align those metrics. The state is a purchaser, so even in this context, I think it's saying that the state shouldn't be doing what the state is doing, which is trying to align those payment methodologies, trying to align some metrics. So that last section of this amendment definitely gives people heartburn.
Ms. Freeman, can I invite you? I do need to preface asking the counselor to comment on this, that she was perfectly happy with the debt. She was perfectly happy that the dash settlements achieved what I wanted. I pushed her into the dash eights, so a counselor that listens too much to the client can get into trouble. But do you share their concern that those three lines stop them from doing what they should be doing? Or I mean,
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Lori Freeman from Legislative Council. The last three lines are intended to address the concerns expressed by the Federal Trade Commission that in a phone conference where they said it's okay for everyone to talk about best practices, payment methodologies, metrics, whatever you want to talk about, just to talk about them and say, you know, we're doing it this way and we think this is great, and we're doing it this way and we think it's great. But if they all come together and say, well, we're going to agree that this is the only thing we're going to accept, and by that's the anti-competitive behavior. And so this language was just intended to address the FTC's concern that, you know, you can't sit down and say we're going to all agree to one. Now, on the other hand, I'm getting the impression that that's exactly what they want to do with this. So if that's the case, then we take that language out. I don't know if it's going to run into problems with the FTC, but
I don't think that follows from the. I mean, I don't think there's anything in the in the early part of the bill that says the objective of this whole effort is to get a uniform payment mechanism for the payment of primary care.
Representative Green, I don't think that the effort of this initiative is to get agreement on a methodology. But it is to, I think our goal is to try to narrow that field so that it's not so that if an insurer says we are doing incentive payments and these are the metrics we use to determine whether that incentive payment should be made, we actually think it would be in consumers' best interest if other insurers said, you know, we think those are probably the right metrics, that would be a good way. That doesn't mean the incentive payments are the same. It doesn't mean that everybody has to do it that way. But it does mean that...
Or that they all agree voluntarily to do it that way. I think that's the collusion.
I mean, even if we had, you know, of the eight major insurers, if three of them actually had the same metrics... We could start to align things, especially if those metrics were similar to what the CCOs are asking physicians to report on.
Representative Kenneman, if you have anybody who wants to join this discussion, it would be very useful.
I think I can add confusion to it, yes.
Good.
I appreciate the opportunity. I guess I wanted to bring up the discussion that Senator Shields had pulled together, a group of us, Representative Ignas, myself, Mr. Barber, and Ms. Freeman, and a number of others, to have this discussion. And I don't know, my recollection is that we did not come to an agreement at that meeting, other than to have further discussion.
That was the report I got.
Yeah, okay, thank
which
you.
Which is what caused me to step in and say, this is the end of the session.
Yes.
Everybody agrees they want this bill, so the question is, can we get this bill in a form?
Okay. I just want to be sure this was on the table.
It is absolutely on the table. And the notion is, well, to meet again next Tuesday, it just means it would be impossible to do in this session.
Oh.
Since anything would have to be drawn up, it would have to be gone to fiscal. It would really make it very unlikely that we could get it ready to move even by Friday. So, I mean, I think we have to have some agreement.
Can we take a timeout?
Yeah.
You want to stand at ease?
Yeah, I do.
Excuse us. We'll stand at ease for a moment. we're back in order.
This is bad.
Anybody else out there want to join in this discussion? I mean, I'd be particularly interested in hearing from a representative of the insurance industry.
Please wear tall boots.
They seem not to be here.
No, they're there. Oh, yeah. They're just choosing not to come.
Okay.
Get input from the media, maybe.
Yeah.
All right. My intention is to listen carefully and let our friends listen carefully and decide on Monday on getting something in order. I still am convinced that the Dash 7 meets the Dash 8 meets the joint objective. Provides antitrust protection, narrows antitrust protection to what goes on inside those meetings, and put some sideboards on what can go on inside the meetings. I think that's what that was intended to do. Is that?
Yeah, Representative Greenlee, members of the committee, Lori Freeman again. The language in the Dash 8 amendments, that those last three sentences that we're talking about, are all with respect to the state supervision that has to occur in order to for the state action immunity doctrine to apply.
Excuse me, you meant the last three lines, not the last three sentences. Is that correct?
Right. I'm sorry.
Okay, three good. I thought we were on the same page.
Yes.
Excuse me for interrupting.
So, I mean, we could take that out, and you would still have a narrowing of the immunity to only the activities that occur within the collaborative. But it doesn't address the concern that the collaborative, you know, the activities that do occur could be collusive.
Why don't you prepare Dash 10s at the moment so we can consider it by Monday, which would do exactly what the Dash 8s do, but take the... That's the main problem you have with the Dash 8s, is that right?
I believe it is.
Take that out, and then we can consider where to go with it by Monday.
That's a good compromise. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And if we can get possibly... Well, I suppose we can wait till Tuesday, but till Wednesday, but if we possibly could get the fiscals on...
Well, fiscals are pending on the A8 and 9s.
And the 10s should be essentially the same.
Very close, right. So it should, and if the agency knows the 10s are coming, they can have things in the queue and could be expedited a little bit. And they're nodding their head in affirmation.
Okay. Huh. Well, thank you very much. Okay, so we're pushing on it. I think it'll help us get away. Thank you for your patience.
Thank you.
My idiosyncrasies. Okay, we're getting things down to a manageable size. We've got, I think we'll be fine on Monday and Wednesday. We're going to carry some things into Friday to see if we need it, but I would hope we don't need it. I hope we can get away without a Friday meeting next week. You guys have earned it. And, although you're just not used to working on Friday. Unless there's anything else to come before the committee, thank you for being here and for moving all our work we needed to move. We are adjourned.